Okay, this is Sunday morning. This is 12:29 or 12:29:19. The title of this is called The Presser. The Presser. P-R-E-S-S-E-R. I wrote my thoughts down here. We've just come through the holidays. Everyone is converging from different worlds, trying over a few days to mesh and keep everything running and peaceful. Personally, when I have people in my home, I feel the pull of each one. I see their needs and problems and their merits, etc. Well, the Lord began to speak to me about this because sometimes it can seem overwhelming. Jesus also faced this every day. It's called the presser. The presser. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. I'm thinking, Lord, how come it just seems so chaotic? He said, because you've got people come from this world and this world and this world and this world. And it's all pressing in on you. And you don't have enough time to acclimate to one another. You know, when you move to a new place, you have to acclimate to your surroundings. If there's new people in your house, you've got to get used to the new people and the new personalities and the new things they bring. Okay, it's even probably that way, new job, whatever. But I was just equating this to, why am I wishing they'd all go home? You know, just you're going, why is it always like this? You got all kinds of people coming from all different directions with all kinds of things going on. And I pick up sensitively anyway, and it's more compounded even. In fact, for two nights, I hardly slept. Then no matter what I did, I got up and prayed, got up and read the Word, got up and drank a V8, got up and drank a Gatorade, thinking, what is wrong with me? I could not go to sleep. Well, as soon as they left, I sleep fine. Okay, Mark 3, verse 9. And he spoke to his disciples that a small boat should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should crowd him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he strictly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he appointed 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have authority to heal sickness and to cast out demons. So Jesus, everywhere he went, he was pressed upon heavily. He recruited his disciples to go and start taking care of some of it, designated some of the authority to go and to do that. Okay, Mark 5, this is 21. It says, when Jesus was passed over again by boat into the other side, many people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and crowded him. A certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians, had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be well. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned about in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude crowding thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Well, right there, the word they thronged him. Throng means to crowd together, to press into a close body. Could say an invasion of your space. I don't know about you. If somebody gets too close to me, especially in a line, I just back off. It's like, back off. Jesus was thronged by the press. People pressed in on Jesus and his disciples. They had all kinds of needs. Only one woman caught his attention, though, the woman with the issue of blood. She qualified. I call this the hook. Wherever I go, I've done it for years. I've always looked for a hook to connect with people and help them as the Holy Spirit leads me. This hook is faith. This is what brings those different worlds together. A world filled with need and want to a world where faith brings the miracle, the solution, the fixer, if you will. Jesus couldn't help anyone without it, and neither can you. It's not by might, Zechariah 4:6. It's not by power, but by God's Spirit. Okay, here's another good example, John 5. Now, did you catch that? The hook of faith. You can't go anywhere and help anybody if you can't get that hook. If you cannot, it's like, I'm always looking for a place to hook on with that person to interject the kingdom of God into their life to help them. Because usually they're going da 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 da. They're going on and on and on and on and on about their problems and this and all the stuff, you know, like the woman. She told him all the truth. They probably were there for a while. About all the doctors she'd been to, and she's no better but grew worse, and she didn't have any money left, and probably how hard it was to get through the crowd, and yeah. But if you can't get to a place where you can hook up with them. What I always appreciated about Brother Hagin was this. I remember a particular story. This woman called him and said, my daughter's going to have surgery and I live in this other place. Can we come and drive there and have you pray for her? He said, sure, come on. Well, she got there and she said, well, I got to be back by 6. I've got to go to my church. So, she just wanted instant prayer. And he said, can't do it. He said, if you'll sit down and listen to the word for a little bit, then I'll do it. She said, well, if you feel that way about it. And he said, well, you know, that's just the way it is. Either you're going to do that or I'm not going to pray for you. Well, the thing was, the daughter didn't believe in healing. And Brother Copeland had a Scofield Bible, and this young woman had a Scofield Bible. Or he had a Scofield, he let her see the Scofield Bible. She didn't have the Bible with her. He said, do you believe in healing? She said, no. The daughter that's going to be having the surgery. No, I don't believe in it. My pastor doesn't preach on it, and he's a godly man, and I believe if it was in the Bible, he'd be preaching it. He laid that Bible in her lap where it says, by his stripes she were healed. And she looked at it, she said, that's a Scofield. That's what I got at home. She said, well, I see it right here in God's word. It says, I'll be healed. He said, well, do you believe if I lay hands on you and pray for you, you'll be healed? She said, absolutely. And he said, I prayed for her, and she was absolutely healed. But she, if he couldn't have gotten her, he could have prayed any quick prayer. What I'm saying is, people pull on you, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. They're looking at their superficial thing that's going on with them, and they want prayer, and they're pulling on you, and they're pressing on you. That's the way I felt this week. Everybody's got multiple needs, and I'm on my last leg. Lord, what do I do? It's not by you. It's not by what you have left. It's not by what you give. It's what's inside. And if you can get them hooked up with you, with the Word of God, this girl probably would have had the surgery and gone on. But, if we can get people on the right path, hook up, the hook of faith. See, this woman heard about Jesus, the woman with issue of blood. She heard about Jesus. So she was already in faith when she touched him. And out of all the needs pressing and thronging him, He said, "Who touched me?" There was thousands touching him. Faith. Faith got his attention. Okay. John 5. This is verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made well of whatever disease he had. Certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been thus now a long time, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made well?" And the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but when I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, and took up his bed, and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. So, multitudes of infirm, thousands and thousands and thousands of people infirm out there. Jesus didn't even pay them any mind. He went to one man. Father must have showed him. Kind of like with in the book of Acts. We'll get to, I think that's in my lineup, where the man at the gate. Or Paul was talking, I don't remember his name. Was it Aeneas? Paul perceived he had faith to be healed and told him to get up. It's not it. What is it then?
Chapter 14,
it was a lame man. Yeah, but I thought his name was Aeneas. Anyway, whoever he was, that's what happened. One person perceiving he had faith. We can't help anybody. We can't do nothing in ourselves. We have got to look, just like Jesus, wherever he went. When somebody called out in faith, he recognized it, and he, boy, they got their answer. Multitudes laying theirs, him 38 years. They got no help. I mean, we can't do it. We can't do it. God has to do it. Acts 3, another example. Well, it doesn't say his name here. It was a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his birth. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet and be leap." And he leapt and he walked. You know, I think about it. If you can get people hooked up with you, you could go to a hospital and you could empty that thing. You would never have to pray a prayer. Because the fact is known. God's already taken sickness and disease. It has to do with what they believe. And if you can get them on board with you and the faith, well, get out of your bed and walk. It's as simple as that. But if they've been indoctrinated with all the stuff of the world and all the lies of the devil, you can pray till you fall over. And you're probably not going to see any results. All right, Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his birth, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now he was laid there daily. I'm sure he was there during the days Jesus was walking the earth. And they were Jews, and they had been going to the temple how many? Every day? Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms? Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them to the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. I'm of a mind today, what God's word says is true. Jesus paid for sickness and disease for all time, for all mankind. And if you can get them to believe it, they can get up right now. We don't have to fast for 30 days to make sure, you know, well, we might have a demon we have to cast out, or we might have to do this, might have to do that. If you can just get somebody believing with you, get up and walk. You're well. The Bible says you are. Get up and walk. It's just that simple. People say, oh, it's a miracle. No, you just acted on faith. You just believe God's word. You just believe something that's already real. That's already true. It's already true. You being sick is the lie. You being crippled there, that's the lie. That's the lie you bought into. The truth is, you're already well. Get up, get up. When you see the connect from the world to the kingdom of God, the hook of faith, faith releases kingdom benefits. The lame man lay daily pressed on, he pressed on everyone that came in for money. He came that day thinking, I need money. And the disciples showed him, no, you need to receive healing in Christ Jesus. That way you don't have to beg for money anymore. There are just some relatives that you have that they have so many needs that it is the presser situation every time you get around them. We can't be moved by that, for even God is not moved by that. He's not moved by need. I was talking to one of them yesterday, trying to encourage them in their faith about a certain situation. Well, I'll just keep praying about it. I said, you don't need to be praying. I said, don't be praying anymore. I said it just like that. I said, don't be praying no more. I said, you prayed once. I said, from now on, every time you think about it, say, thank you, Lord, it's done. No more praying. Have you heard that? Well, I'm just praying and praying and praying and praying. And it's the same old thing every time you see them. Over, over, over again. Never getting anywhere. Calling every prayer line in the county. Oh, pray! 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 No, get up and walk. Thank you, Lord, it's done. When Jesus prayed for the blind man, it said he threw off his cloak that identified him as a blind man and said, Lord said, what do you want? That my eyes be healed. Well, he had already made up his mind. I don't need this rag anymore. The man was in faith, man, when he went. Made an instant connection to the kingdom of God. If we can't get people there, we will never be able to help them. So you might as well just save yourself a lot of hearing a bunch of garbage. Jesus didn't have time to stop and have these type of meetings everywhere, like the woman. He had so many pressing on him. That's probably why I said, get up. We've already got the good. It's already done. We're not doing anything other than encouraging them, getting the connect with faith. That's what the kingdom of God is. They've got to help. They can't just... It's like a, as long as I've been in church, this is the way it is. It's a give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I'm so poor and wretched, and give me, give me, give me, Lord, reach out your hand as you touch by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he walks by. You know, just, it's not as if he's already done it. I just don't have time for that. If I can't get somebody over into faith where we can connect, it's just a waste. That's probably why Jesus didn't minister to anybody else at the pool. I mean, the Father was leading him. Father said, that guy over there's got faith. Or he'll connect with you and you'll be able to help him. I know the Lord said many years ago, there'll be many that you won't be able to help. Just bless them, loose them, let them go. But man, it's such a rare occasion that I have somebody that just pulls the power of God right out of you. They're so hungry, and they're so ready, they're so ripe for the picking. Man, they just connect with you, and bam, you get answers. They're so far and few between. So far, and evidently with Jesus too. One out of a multitude. We can't be moved by what, by that, even if, because God is not moved by that. He moves based on faith, not need. A lot of people don't understand this about God. It is not your need that gets God's attention, but your faith. They think by the bawling and the squalling and the repenting and all the stuff that they do, God's not looking for your bawling and squalling and repenting. He's looking, and there's a place for that, He's looking for your faith. Always remember this. If the person you're dealing with won't exercise faith, we can't help them really. Truth is, neither can God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, Luke 7. Sometimes you just want to, you know, open their head like a, with a can opener and just pour it in. But they're in there with their, like a goat, but, you know, can't help no goat. All right, Luke 7. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him earnestly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. So they're saying, you ought to do this for him because he's done all these things for us. For he loveth our nation, hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man with authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant well that had been sick. So he got an immediate connection of faith with this man. To help people, we must get them in faith, or really it's a waste of time. Most times it's just flesh and temporary, and they will be in the same condition tomorrow. Anything else, and you praying for them, you're just as much in the flesh as they are. Just to pray, because they just, some people just press upon you, they want you to pray for them, you know. We really shouldn't be pressed to. We need to say, well, you know what, I'll make it a matter of prayer, and maybe the next time I see you, maybe we'll discuss what we have. There's a lady I go to for a certain service, and as long as I've gone to her, it's all about, all, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, and her different ones in her family, and that's, I hear it week after week after week after week after week. And all these years I've been going to her. Well, here a few weeks ago, the Lord gave me something for her, and I shared it with her this week. And she received it. She knows it's the truth. But it was something that if she will do it, it will help her. If she doesn't, it's going to make her condition worse. Sometimes we pray too quickly. I don't like to tell somebody, you know, try to be forced to pray for somebody just right now, and they're pressing on you. Do this. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. Well, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to pray? I don't have anything, you know. Do you want me to wait? It's like I told the one on the phone yesterday. I said, I know y'all get tired of hearing me say, well, I'll pray about it. But I said, I'll tell you, when I pray about it, I never miss it. Because God tells me what to do. And He knows everything, and He never fails. He always gets it right. I said, that's why, because I used to be a mess like you. That everything you do is just a mess. People are looking for a quick fix. They're looking for a patch on the flat, you understand, instead of a new tire. They're going to be flat in a few days again. Just fix me up, fix me up. No, let's get some lasting results where you don't have to ever deal with this problem again. What did I just finish reading? Luke, did I just read Luke 7? Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, Mark 5. We have to really get it, and it's sad because you want to help everybody. But Jesus didn't help everybody. And you're not going to either. And don't think you have to be the answer to everybody. Because sometimes they won't give you nothing. Well, that tells me that you're not the answer. You're not the one. You don't have the word. Somebody else maybe will. I don't know. But we can't let the pressure come in on us and get us to just acting in the flesh because we feel sorry for them. It's like Jesse used to say, never give based on need. Never. And when you're around a bunch of needy relatives, it's really hard because it plays on your emotions. Okay, Mark 5:35. While he yet spoke, this is after he dealt with the woman, the issue of blood, she tells him everything. While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain who said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. What was Jesus referring to? All right, let's go back to same chapter, verse 22. When Jairus first came up to Jesus and asked his for help, he said, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. High in faith. But after him dealing with the woman, it took so long, and here comes the bad report. Oh, she's dead. Just forget about it. And Jesus tells him, don't be in unbelief. Stay in faith. So he was able to go on and raise his daughter from the dead. People just think that God can do just anything at any time, that the only action is on God's part. This is a great fallacy. Oh, God, he can just do anything. No, he can't. They are waiting on God, but the real truth is that it has already been done, and he's already done all he's going to do. People don't like that one. So that means he's actually waiting on you. What is he waiting on? Faith. So he can respond. He's a faith God. From Genesis to Revelation. He's not changing. Okay, Luke 18. And And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He's looking for faith. And those that are bound and determined in their faith, they keep their faith in God's face. Where when Jesus may see multitudes of people, but you're standing right there and your faith is shining out to him and he don't see anybody else but you. One time the Lord said to me, I'll pass over 1 million to get to you because of your faith. You've got to give him something to work with. Jesus was not moved by need. Even his own dear friend got sick and died. But Jesus did not let the press, sir, come in on him. They tried to make him feel bad. Even his brother and sister, or his two sisters, tried to make Jesus feel bad because, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It's your fault. You didn't come when you heard he was sick. You could have raised him, you know, healed him. Now he's dead and all is lost. No, Jesus waited to hear from God about what about, because Jesus knew he died. Jesus knew he died. But Jesus waited and followed the Spirit and raised him up. If he had just stepped out because he was pressed upon, because these are dear friends, I better run right now there. I've had a few instances where the Lord just about forbid me respond, and where I normally people would have run to them or done something to people. I've had the Lord say to me, don't you do a thing. I'm going, but Lord. See, learning to move like with the Spirit, minister by the Spirit, learning to the people that come across your path, getting them to hook up with faith. You're wasting your time doing any other thing. We are bringing people out of the world and into the kingdom of God. We must get them past their need. I remember another story with Brother Hagin. It was a couple that had been listening to him on the radio. And they come to the church and they sat down on the altar. And he began to show them in the Word of God where the way they were praying was wrong. The way they were believing was wrong. And they saw in the Word of God for themselves, and the woman ended up getting healed. But they started out with, Lord, if it's your will, you'll heal her. Well, he had to prove that wrong. He got the Word out. People think the Bible says certain things, and a lot of times it doesn't say those things. It's more like Mama said, Grandma said, you know. We must get them past their need. The God of this world's agenda, according to Matthew 6, taking thought, saying, we've got to get move them over into the realm of faith if we're going to help them. All right, we, like Jesus, must refuse these pressure situations. The needs of others can weigh heavy on you and cause you to get out of faith and into the natural. If you live that way, they will drain you dry. Woo, they will drain you dry. Proverbs 30:15, the first part of that verse says, the horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give. They'll suck you till you ain't nothing left. Give if the Lord tells you to, but never let their need be your motivation. Because God, he's not going to do anything based on need. It's going to be based on his word and exercising faith through his word. And God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Okay.